Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Get ready for a highbrow episode of Fat Mascara.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jessica.
Ooh, intriguing. Guess who's here? The Oscar Beauty Police.
Woo! 5-0.
It's just us. It's just us. Don't get excited. But we're gonna talk about our favorite Oscar looks and maybe some of our not favorites. Then we'll heat things up with a little infrared chat. Infrared saunas, facials. What's that all about? Lastly, eye gloss. Love the trend, but it can be a little bit hard to wear, so Jess and I are going to walk you through it.
And we have the most amazing guest, microblading extraordinaire, Claire Villamont. Whoa, ho, ho, Jen. I don't know why I opened that way. Jen, I am so sick already of the whole, like, whoa, Oscars had, like, a real, like, surprise ending. M. Night Shyamalan, like, wrote the ending. Actually, that was one of my favorite jokes. But, like, there's so much to talk about with this year's Oscars that I'm already tired of it.
Me too. Let's not talk about any of that. Let's just, what matters,
Did you
Jess?
Know what happened at the end?
I don't care. I don't even know. You know what I care about?
What?
The red carpet looks. The hair and the makeup and the nails. Am I right?
Let's dish.
Okay, let's dish. And also, I feel like it got side. Nobody was talking about it because they were busy talking about everything else that went on.
I know. I feel so badly for the actresses.
Okay. Positives first. We're doing, like, red carpet police, but let's be, like, nice police first. What was your favorite look?
You know, I wasn't, like, blown away by anyone, but I did really liked Emma Roberts. I did really like Emma Roberts' look.
She had, like, she's a redhead.
She's a redhead, and she was wearing this blazing red lipstick, and I liked the combination of her red hair and the red lipstick, and she had, like, just, like, this beautiful, like, creamy décolletage, and I was just like, yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, glamour. Just pure
glamour.
Glamour. Mm-hmm. I liked her, too. It's funny, because I responded to a red look as well.
Ooh.
Fire. I think Ruth Negga was freaking amazing. She brought this whole Wiccan, like witchy
vibe. Oh, yes,
vibe.
I did see that. Yes.
It was like the cool girl witch with, like, this red Valentino dress, fine. But then she has rubies everywhere. Ruby headband. Like, that's hard to pull off. She was pulling it off with a dark red lip, with a red smoky eye. But, like, somehow all that color, it just works. She looked like a pagan moon goddess. I just was really feeling it. I think it was I never know how to say her name. The makeup artist was Melanie Iglesias. She's French. I'm butchering it. Yeah, and then Vernon Francois did her hair, and she just looked so cool.
Oh, I didn't give a credit to Charlotte. Charlotte did my little friend Emma Roberts.
Oh, that's why you liked it, because Charlotte Tilbury did it. It's not
why. It just, like, I can't help that she delivers classic beauty again and again and again.
Oh, okay, so speaking of classic beauty, I also thought Emma Stone looked great, but, like, I was a little bored. Like, I get it that in 10 years we're going to look back at the picture and you won and it's always going to look good because you wore a gold dress and had like a Veronica Lake wave and like a red lip. It just was perfect. But like, I like a quirky beauty. So that's why I was into Ruth Negga.
You know, she definitely had the quirky thing down.
Yeah. What about any misses, did you think?
You know, I don't want to be a hater.
I will.
Okay.
Let's talk about Halle Berry's hair. Okay. I dug deep on this. First of all, whoever was sitting behind her, you know, I'm sorry.
That's like me at every concert.
The size of her hair, I was not bothered by. I was not bothered by the asymmetrical cut of it, even. What bothered me a little bit about her hair was the uniformity of the curls. Like, her hairstylist maintains, Castillo, that it's her natural curls. I'm not one to debate that. But they were definitely touched up with a curling iron. And I feel like they were very uniform. So that was my one issue. My other issue was she looked like her highlights were pulled through like a cap. Remember cap highlights?
Oh, of course I do.
Where it was like a rubber swimming, you know, whatever. It was like a swimming thing that they put on. Mm-hmm. And then the little hook would pull the pieces through and those would get blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't, to me, it didn't look like the sun had kissed it or just the ends were blonde. It was very random, the blondness. So I know she got a lot of hate for it, like on Twitter and whatever. I didn't hate it. I just felt like if you're going to do big curls like that, like make them look even more like natural and a little funky, not too perfect. They were like too perfect almost.
I think the hair moment for me that fell flat was Janelle Monáe.
Oh, you didn't like her headband?
No, I thought it was too much. You know how I feel about a headband.
Because her dress was so elaborate.
Yes, everything was too costumey for me. And I love Jennifer Bear. She was wearing a Jennifer Bear headband. But it was too done. Do you know what I mean? It was too Costume Institute.
Yes, and like Salma Hayek also had a headband on top of Ruth Negga, but her dress was simpler, so it works. And when we were talking about grown-up hair accessories a couple episodes ago.
Gotta keep it simple.
Yeah, if you're going to do a hair accessory, like, just think about the rest of the look too, right?
Yes.
I mean, here's us telling Oscar winners, but you know what? Listen.
We're in the audience.
We know.
Jen, I went something so amazing this weekend.
Where?
I went to the Spotica Spa.
Spotica sounds
Spotica
like a
spa.
Like a planet, like a
Spotica. I went to, yeah, it's a spa called Spotica.
Okay.
It does sound like another planet.
Mm-hmm. Avatar.
It was probably one of the most incredible spas I've ever been to in my life. And that is a very strong statement. It's on the Upper East Side. It's all about like healing, crystals, like incredible body treatments.
Fell asleep for.
I only fell asleep for about 10 minutes.
What did you get done?
Well, they take the treatment I had was like a journey. So first, you chill out in this room that has crystals that are the size of fireplaces, and you meditate there. Oh, you're also given a crystal as soon as you come in, and you set your intention, and the wonderful therapist puts it in your palm. Mm-hmm. Look, just go with it. Oh, give me a break. You were talking about crystals yesterday and how much you like them, so just stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
There are crystals in the wall. They're actually in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was guided into this little infrared sauna.
Mm.
And there's three of them. They look like little cabanas.
Okay.
And I chilled in there for about 10 minutes before we started the treatment.
Chill might probably be the wrong word for an infrared sauna. Am I right?
I didn't like bake in there. I just kind of...
What's it feel like? Because I feel like infrared is very trendy right now. I see a lot of spas and salons that are starting to bring infrared saunas and treatment rooms and things. Like, what does it feel like?
Well, here's the coolest thing. Because it's very private. You could get naked in there. So you just chill naked in the heat. Naked.
Okay.
With all your bits out.
Yeah.
It feels like a... Like you're in the sun. Like in the hot sun. And it's just baking down on you.
And what is that supposed to do for you?
Well, they say, you know, I know that we both have feelings about this word, detoxify, but you sweat and you, it's supposed to also stimulate collagen. Now, I had this infrared experience, a similar one, but not a naked one, just on my face at another spa, which shall go nameless, and I stopped the treatment.
Why?
It was at a very famous facialist place. I stopped the treatment. It was too much. The light was too hot. It was too intense.
Yeah.
And it was too close to my face. I've never been in like a cabana with infrared, like 360 heat. This is supposed to just kind of be like an overall feeling of wellness, too.
Okay.
And I stayed in for 10 minutes, and then I put on my robe, and the lady came and got me, and then we started the treatment.
I'm so glad that you didn't try and tell me that you, A, sweated out heavy metals and toxins, or B, lost weight, or C, got rid of cellulite.
Oh, no, none of that. And they
because
didn't promise
people
me
say
that,
that about infrared.
They just said it was there to mellow me out and, like, they said detox. But, like, you know, they didn't make a whole thing of it.
Okay, so when infrared started coming back in, not coming back, just started to be trendy at spas, I got really nervous because I always think of any sort of light as damaging to the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I dug deep into this and to find some studies. So infrared, if for people who don't know, it's invisible. Far infrared light is invisible. And that's usually what's at these spas. And that is like just the energy of the sun, the heat part, not the UV light or anything like that. And there are good studies that it does promote collagen. The way they think it works is that it sort of like damages a little bit your collagen or like shrinks it up and makes it fire up and make more. I'm sure Mary Shook is like shaking her head right now.
She's literally shaking her fist right now at the computer.
But no, I found two very good published studies saying that it does indeed improve collagen over time. Some of these other claims I've seen though on the spa menus, like about, you know, detoxification or, you know, cellulite reduction or burning up your metabolism so you lose weight for days after. Could not find proof for any of that stuff. But far infrared light for collagen is supposed to be good. Some derms, however, are like, listen, we haven't studied it that much yet, so let's all like take a chill pill. But my heat analogies are getting all messed up because it is still heat and it is still light that comes from the sun. So you're not, you know, we're not sure that in the long run it wouldn't be damaging. But good signs so far.
Okay.
So what did you think when you came out of the whole thing? Did you feel... No.
Oh my God, this place is unbelievable. It's not cheap, but it's really incredible. If you want to treat yourself to a spa day, this is it.
And what about, would you just do infrared again or does it have to be part of a journey?
I think it was nice because it set me up for the journey. I don't think I would pay to just pop in, strip down and sit in an infrared place for like 10 minutes when it probably would have taken me 30 minutes to get to the place at least anyway. You know, like this was like kind of a teaser to the relaxation to come.
Yeah. And there's also like at-home gadgets for infrared if you want to look into it, or at the doctor's office, you can get the treatments, the one you didn't like, but it is good for collagen growth. So that's our take on infrared.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You be like...
Guys, we love it when you send questions. And one of you lovely listeners had a cue about eye gloss.
Mm.
It's all the rage right now, but wearing it is so tricky.
That was very magazine beauty editor of you.
Well, guess what? I'm a magazine beauty editor.
I like that. And eye gloss is like one of those things, like every other season, it's like everywhere all of a sudden again. It just like never goes out of style. But I really saw a lot of it on the shows that we've seen so far for the fall shows. It's tough to wear, though.
I always found like one of two things happens.
Mm.
Either you put it on and then any other products you have like somehow have traveled up to like your brow bone, you know, like everything has like slid up north, or it's just completely like gone away. And it's like, you've never even put it on in the first place.
Or if you're me, you put it on and then like you open your eyes, but then the lid sticks to the brow bone. So then you like go to close your eyes and they have to like be peeled down like a fruit roll-up.
It's like a Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. So I love the look. So I've tried so many to like figure out what actually will give you the reflective shine, but not feel goopy.
Yeah, totally.
What do you like?
So I have two in my arsenal. Ready?
Eye gloss arsenal. Do tell.
One is I really like the Milk Eye Vinyl, but
yes.
I like the one that's kind of like a milky color. It's more of like a cream. They make it in black. That's really not for me. That's more for the kids. So, you know, enjoy that. There's a girl that I used to work with. Shout out Sue Williamson. And she looks really good in that, but it doesn't work for me. I think, you know, it's a great product, but it just
doesn't work for me, but it looks very cool.
That's so funny that you should say that, because guess what I have on today?
What's up?
Milk, makeup, eye vinyl.
Do you have, you're not in black though today, right?
No, I have
like
on
that
the,
really wore off.
You like, I think the one that you're talking about is called Bridge, which is the nude color.
Yeah, it's a nude.
I like Valet, which is the purple color.
Oh, wow.
Which seems crazy.
Going for a purple.
But with brown eyes, sometimes they say purple looks really good, and yeah. I agree with that. My only issue with that one, the texture's really nice. The shine stays a long time. I feel like the component oozes a little bit, like the little tip.
Mm.
Like I squirt it out, and then it just keeps squirting, even though I'm done clicking.
Oh, that happens with like products like that sometimes.
Clicky pens. Yeah, so just, you know.
Just like jam the pack, the cap right on.
Just like one click will probably be enough. And then just patience.
That's a really good tip.
What's your other eye gloss that
you like? Oh my God, guys, you're in for a treat. This week, Ciate is dropping their dewy sticks.
Oh, I love this product. Ciate London, this nail line that like expanded into beauty.
Holy cow.
I found that thing in the closet and I was like, new favorite product.
I have not been this excited about a product in so long.
Okay, why do you like it?
Okay, it basically, wait, you hear that pop, guys? That's the pop of a thick, chubby little product, and it's like a bomb, and it's in a dome shape. Has no glimmer, no shimmer. It's just like a bomb.
It has a little glimmer. Like there's a luminescence to it, like a highlighty quality.
I suppose, but not like anything that you would notice if you were just walking by it. You know, like it's so subtle.
No, like take Vaseline or 8-hour cream, mm-hmm. but take away the stickiness.
Yeah, they make it hard, freeze it. Like freeze it into like into a pop, into a dome. And then you can like grab it like a little chubby, like, you know, Mr. Sketch, and like run it all over your cheekbones, but it's safe enough to put on your eyelids. And that's going to give you just that kind of greasy, dewy look that is like not like too try hard. It's really nice and it stays on. It's really like an eye gloss for more like mature, like a more mature, sophisticated look. It's not as like clubby as like the Milk Girl.
Okay, I like it.
I really like it. And it's $26 and it's out this week in Sephora.com. It's freaking awesome. You won't regret it.
I'll round it. You actually named two of the ones that I absolutely love, but I will round it
so
out
aligned.
With this little pot of wonderfulness that I discovered recently.
What's that?
The brand name I love is called Ish.
What's that stand for?
Like Ish. I think it's like I'm so hot, but I like it like it's makeup ish. I don't know. That's don't quote me on that. Anyway, so the gold bomb. It's actually bomb like the weaponry is how it's spelled, but it is also a bomb like a B-A-L-M.
Oh, like you're the bomb.
Yeah. I would say it's almost like an Elizabeth 8-hour cream, but with a gold finish to it, but not like a glittery gold, just like a shimmer gold. And you can put it on the high planes of your face, on your eyes, whatever. It's really nice in brows.
That's
it just
lovely.
Gives them a gleam. And I told the guy, I think the makeup artist's name is Joey Maloof. I told him, you're going to make no money because this little pot lasts forever. Like there's so much product in there and you have to warm it up to get it going.
I know. It looks like an eye cream.
It's
like
it's
a big,
so good.
Pot.
You can put it on lips. You can put it everywhere. And when it gets nice out, I'm going to put it on my shins. Like, you know, a little gleam down the down the leg.
You're not kidding around.
Yeah. So these are three good, like glossy but not greasy kind of products. Okay. But I want to know what the listeners are into for eye gloss too. So we're going to post on Instagram, and please do comment your favorites.
Please do.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Our guest is Claire Villamont. She does eyebrow microblading at Laurel, which is a private studio on New York City's East Village. They also do hair and color. But as you guys have probably heard, the quality of microblading can differ a lot. Like, the results vary widely. But Claire has some of the best afters of before and after pictures that we have ever seen. So we wanted to bring her on to talk all things brows. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so on your site, you say you do creative custom microblading.
Yes.
Before we get into that, let's just get a primer for people who are like, what the hell is microblading? So, Claire, what the hell is microblading?
Okay. Basically, it's a cosmetic tattoo, like a form of cosmetic tattooing. But it's done by hand with like a small hand tool and cosmetic pigment. And it doesn't quite go as deep as like a conventional tattoo. It's kind of like just placed underneath the surface. And it's basically a realistic looking eyebrow. Like, we study the hair growth patterns of an eyebrow and kind of follow that and sort of like draw them in naturally how they would grow out of your face.
With a pen that has ink in it, or with like a little razor and then you rub ink in it?
Well,
what does it look like?
It looks kind of like, the holder looks similar to an X-Acto blade holder, but it's not like an X-Acto blade at all. It's a grouping of very, very fine needles. Kind of arranged on a slant, so maybe it looks slightly bladish, but it's not really. And you kind of just use that. You dip it in the ink, and you finally draw, or rather like scratch, a little hair into the face.
Okay, and so I assume there's some healing time involved with this. So maybe just before we get into details, walk us through, like, what is the process? If someone comes in, do they get numbed? Like, are you busy trying it with pencil first before you, like, how does it go?
I usually set aside about 2 to 2.5 hours for each person. And half of that time we spend numbing, prepping, and mapping out the shape. So we're just, like, getting ready, kind of planning what your shape's going to look like.
Do they choose from a book?
No, we sort of talk about it. I also show them photos, like just for my Instagram and stuff too, because I like to get an idea of like what style they kind of like what their look is. Do they want it refined and polished? Do they want it like feathery and natural and fluffy? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's lots of little things that I kind of like break the brow down into pieces. Like, how do you want the front to lay? What about the edges? So there's like, we go over like all the little details. But then also, too, I have to see what their brow hair is like, because believe it or not, there's lots of different types of brow hair. So that also depends, like, how you're going to apply, like, the technique that you're going to use as well.
How is this different than regular cosmetic tattooing?
Like lip liner tattoo that I saw back in the day.
Oh, my God. Or the, like, older ladies with the eyeliner.
It's a lot different because it's done by hand, so it's a little softer and it's more precise.
Oh, that was done by like a tattoo gun or something?
Most of those are done like with a tattoo machine, yeah, for sure. So there's lots of negative space that you need to leave, and that's really important, like how you arrange the hair strokes and the negative space in between. Mm-hmm. So it creates like a diffuse sort of like hair-like look as opposed to like one solid, you know, harsh kind of eyebrow. It's different. It doesn't go as deep, so it kind of grows out a little bit, which is kind of interesting because it's adjustable.
Like, it gets pushed out by the body?
It does. A regular tattoo goes deep enough where it's permanent. It's not going anywhere. It might fade, like, in 20 years or something. But this doesn't go quite as deep. So after a while, I mean, I don't know if you're going to lose the whole thing. It's still kind of new, but it does lighten. You have to get it refreshed like once a year.
Could you just let it grow out and then in a year, like, there's no sign of it? Like, what if you are not happy with your results?
Well, that's tricky. I get a lot of people asking me to fix their stuff. If it was done with a really dark pigment, like really dark brown or black,
yeah,
you're going to have it there for a long time. If you did it in like a lighter brown, it might fade completely.
A long time meaning like a decade or something?
Maybe. I'm not really sure. This is kind of new to me. So yeah. As far as like removal, mm-hmm. which I'm kind of trying to look into that too, because there's a lot of people with really bad work out there
that
I feel like I want to help them. But kind of just tattooing over it with a darker color is not the solution. Mm-hmm. So I think if you have a really dark, you know, kind of microblading mishap, maybe you have to get it lasered also. Or maybe there's saline treatments or something. I've been looking into it. It's hard to find information on it. So,
and when you say this is new to you, we should clarify that tattooing isn't necessarily new to you though, right?
Yes.
Because what did you do before you were into microblading?
I've been a tattooer for almost 15 years. So just, you know, conventional like body tattooing, traditional style. And I've just been doing this for a little over a year.
And new also because this is kind of new in the United States. I mean, I started hearing about it, I don't know, 3 years ago, but that was still like on the early edge of it.
Sure, sure.
So. I have to ask you, does it hurt? Because when I think about this, I get a little like, a little queasy.
I know, right?
It sounds like somebody taking a little blade to your face.
Mm-hmm. Well, I use two different anesthetics.
Okay.
Ooh, to like keep what? Everybody really comfortable. So, and they work really well. So first we do like a cream that I put on there for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And, you know, we chat and we have a consultation. I explain everything. And that actually works really well. Mm-hmm. I never have anyone wiggle or move or
want
to run away or anything. Everyone's pretty chill.
Uh-huh.
And I have people fall asleep on me all the time. So
is it like weirdly relaxing?
Bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I lay you down. Mm-hmm. And then I use another anesthetic, like after I make some little marks kind of in your skin, I use a gel, kind of lidocaine. Mm-hmm. And it like soaks into your skin and that stuff's really good too. So it keeps you very comfortable.
All right. So yeah, it's not like getting a tattoo.
No, no way. I mean, getting a regular tattoo hurts so much worse for sure. And this only takes an hour or less, which is nice.
Okay.
It's fairly quick.
And what about, just speaking of tattooing, like regulation-wise, I mean, we're here in New York State, but like, do you have to get a license or how is this regulated?
Hmm.
Is it the Wild West of microblading?
It's a little Wild Westy here,
really?
I think.
Does that frighten you?
It does. I feel bad for people who are uneducated and kind of just go for it, like go to anybody without kind of researching, because kind of anyone can just say they can do it.
Yeah, I have to say, my brow girl, she's incredible. She's amazing. She is getting trained for microblading. Mm-hmm. But when she told me about some of the trainings that she has seen, I'm not sure where she's getting her training, but she told me about some of the trainings she has seen, and it's been like a day course in an office building for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. And I'm so frightened to think about who's coming out of these. They may be great. They may be just like my gal, but like, it's frightening, you know? And then they're going to go cut up other people's faces.
Yeah, it's really scary. It's really scary.
Let's just be real about it.
I know. Well, you know, normally you learn how to tattoo, you do an apprenticeship with someone, which makes total sense.
Yeah, you're a tattoo artist.
Yeah,
so I trust
study,
you, but
right.
Let's, you know.
Well, so this is why it doesn't make sense to me either, because, and I took one of these courses, but I feel like I learned a lot on my own also, and it was just like a 3-day course. I flew to Texas to take this.
At least there's three.
I know. I don't recommend this course, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say who I did. Yeah. But it gave me the very basic like application process for sure. And then the rest, I feel like, was my own tattoo knowledge and kind of, you know, learning on my own. Believe it or not, I had a lot of volunteers and stuff that let me work on them in the beginning, I think because of my tattoo background.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's scary because these classes give you a certificate at the end that says
she put air quotes on that. Yeah, just so you know.
Like a certificate that's, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, you know?
Yeah.
Would people from like the city or the state government, like they go to nail salons to check up on everybody having a license, mm-hmm. are they going to microblading places and being like, where's your, I guess there is no license.
I don't think so.
You don't have to be an esthetician.
Yeah, because I was researching it when I wanted to get into it.
It's just so new.
And I wanted to be all legit and like get every, you know, all my ducks in a row and stuff. And there doesn't seem to be much regulation on cosmetic tattooing in general in New York State. Now, other places, I know in Florida where they've been, you know, doing a lot of cosmetic tattooing, kind of the standard old lady style.
Mm-hmm.
They're more regulated there. It's been going on for longer. So I don't know if maybe this is just so new.
I wonder if if it even falls under that sort of category for them. I mean, maybe it's only until something goes terribly wrong that it will.
I think that might be the case.
What would be your suggestion then if someone isn't in New York, for example, and is looking for, like, they're interested in getting microblading done? What would you want the person to be, an esthetician and or a tattoo artist? Or would you just truly go by their work and make sure their portfolio's up to, you know, standards? What would you suggest?
I think it's really important to see photos. Mm-hmm. I think that's the number one thing that you need to look for, is you need to see, like, proof of their work. And make sure it's their work. Make sure the photos are consistent, because people steal photos sometimes and say that they're theirs. Yeah.
So if brows styles come and go, are you worried ever that, like, oh, what if I do a nice fluffy brow that's, like, super cool and Taylor Hill looking, and then in 3 years everybody wants skinny brows?
I mean, I guess it's possible.
So you just then you're stuck with them.
I mean, well, this is the same issue for regular tattooing too. I mean, there's fads for everything.
That's true.
Things will be very current, and then they shift.
So
it's not really my, you know, it's not really my job to be like, you have to get this or you shouldn't get this. I try and steer people in the right direction, but I mean, it's fashion. I guess
what
it changes.
What kind of people are coming to you?
I get a really nice wide variety. I wasn't sure, like, who my clientele is going to be, but I'm surprised. I do get a lot of younger women. A friend of mine made a comment like, oh, you must be tattooing, like, all these old ladies. And I'm like, I'm not really. It seems to be, like, women probably between the ages of, like, 25 and 40. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Are they looking to fix their brows, or is it they're looking for, like, a different, like, a trendier brow? Not like a lipstick color, but, you know, they want a certain kind of look that maybe they don't have naturally.
Not really too much. I'd say, like, if a young girl has a natural, like, bushy brow, maybe she just wants it filled in, like, her natural shape filled in, so she doesn't have to add anything to it.
Right.
Then there's people who are like almost bald, and they just want to be able to wake up and have like a natural looking eyebrow and not feel insecure about it. Sure. They want to go to the beach and not worry about it like smearing off. So it's like a huge spectrum, which I think is really cool. Yeah.
If you're nervous, I'm not going through the whole process that someone might be going through. Could you use a pencil, like you as the artist, pencil in what you would do to show them? Or how do you like try on, you know, a microblade look?
Well, I draw on the shape that, you know.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Beforehand. Sure. I wouldn't just like go for it. So I draw on a shape that I think might be flattering for them, you know, according to like what our little consultation was about. And then we kind of edit the shape down together. So I draw it on with like a waxy sort of brown pencil, kind of light. And then we look at it from far away, up close, we tweak it, erase things, you know, fix it until we get it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are your consultations free?
Well, we do it when we come in for your appointment.
But what if someone wanted to come in and see, like, you know, if they want to do this?
I do consultations via email if people want to send me photos and we can have a conversation that way. But I don't really, like, have a consultation where I'll draw on you first. Yeah.
So talking about drawing and everything, what about people who don't want to ever get microbladed?
Yeah, let's just talk brows in general.
Like, okay. You know, this is just too much, too scary. They don't want... Is there any blood drawn? Do you see little blood bits?
Very, very little.
Can we just be serious?
Hardly any blood. If it's bleeding a lot, it's not being done right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's actually a really good tip.
Good to know.
So run if you're with like...
Yes. I've seen on Instagram where they're like, make us... I'm calling it a slice, and that's not the word. And then they wipe with cotton and slice with cotton. And you see it oozing every time.
Or people...
You've been on...
I see videos, and they're, like, rubbing it really hard when they're wiping
it. That's not your technique.
Be gentle.
This is like a snuff film.
Be very gentle. You need to scrub it.
Like, yeah.
Chill out.
I can't with that.
What do you do after you get microbladed? I didn't even ask.
Oh, my God, it's so complicated.
Okay, we can find those.
Complicated.
Is it really?
It is kind of... Well, it's very specific.
Oh, tell us. Sorry.
Yeah, I give, like, all my clients, like, this 3-page thing. I'm like, read through this. Actually, it's pretty easy, but it's very specific. You cannot get your brows very wet for 10 days after the treatment.
So what do you do? Like, have goggles on in the shower?
I have had a client that did that, actually. But
like a scuba mask. Yeah. That's amazing.
Seriously, what are you doing?
So to wash your face, you can't, like, splash water on. You have to wash around, you know, with a washcloth or a disposable wipe.
I'll allow micellar water in this case.
You have to. I know it's not the best way to wash your face, you know, but you kind of just have to deal with it for, like, you know, a week and a half. Okay. Yeah.
How do you wash your hair?
You can wash your hair and take a shower. You just don't want to let the water spray like directly on your face, like all over the place. Yeah. You have to wash it very.
Like, this is.
Mm-hmm.
You back into the shower, like backwards.
Gently, gingerly wash your hair.
You take one of your many baths that you take.
I know, but then you have to. Everything's getting soaked.
Okay, you could do it. You could do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so 10 days with not a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. After 5 days or so, you're not even just really supposed to touch them. You kind of just leave them alone. So wash around them. Try not to get them too wet. And then they're going to kind of like peel a little bit. Starting maybe 5 or 6 days after, you can put a little coconut oil on them, maybe once a day, and that's it.
I know you're super booked up and super popular, but we're going to put, well, what is your website, just so people have it?
It's my name, ClaireVillamott.com.
Okay, we'll spell it out on the blog so everybody can link there.
Yeah, it's a little complicated.
And you have to check out her before and afters, because really, you guys, well, if you don't know what microblading is, really.
Don't jack them.
Yeah, don't steal the pictures.
Yeah, don't steal my photos, okay?
But it's amazing. You guys have to see it. So, Claire, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Okay.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about one of our sponsors. Jess, I'm after this glowy skin look. But is there a way to do it without makeup?
Who doesn't want glowy skin? But seriously, yeah, you can get it without makeup. What you need, I've spoken to a million different derms about this, you need vitamin C and some antioxidants.
Okay.
If you're looking for a one-stop shop, I recommend the Sunday Riley CEO C plus E Antioxidant Protect and Repair Moisturizer. Yes, it's all in one product, and I love this thing because it's got it all.
You know what I like about vitamin C? Yes, it's brightening, so that's good with the glowy, like you said, mm-hmm. but it's also protective. But is it going to make me all sensitive?
No, this one's good because it's great for all skin types.
So vitamin C that's for sensitive skin that protects me and moisturizes and makes me glowy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how much?
$65, Sephora.com. Log on, click buy.
That was a really interesting interview, but I want to keep it above the surface. Or I want to keep it on the surface of the dermis.
With your raise a wand?
Hell yeah.
What are you raising a wand to?
I have a good one.
What is it?
So I was with Hung Van Gogh the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He's now working with Marc Jacobs Beauty. And we know that he does one of my beauty icons, Julianne Moore. So, of course, I, like, totally, like, whacked out on him. And I was like, oh, my God, you did her look on, like, December 7th, 2014 when she was wearing blah, 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 blah. And he was like, I know exactly which image you're talking about. And he told me exactly what she was wearing. Anyway, he suggested a pencil that he uses on her that's going to look amazing on me. And I'm wearing it right now.
And it is?
It is Marc Jacobs Beauty eyeliner in brownie. It's so great. It lasts for a long time, which is super important because I need my products to work overtime. And it's this like delicious brown, but it has like a reddish undertone. So it's very warm.
As I saw at the Oscars, red is very trendy right now.
Yes. So it's red, but it's a wearable red. You could wear it to the office. You could wear it to school. And it's not going to look like you're trying to like really bring the drama, but it's got a little bit of...
I like it. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's very creamy.
Raise a wand.
Yep, love it. Thanks, Hung.
I am raising a wand to this tub of fabulousness.
Oh, God, you really brought one today.
Okay, this is Tree Hut Shea Sugar Scrub. I'm all about a body scrub. This huge tub right here, $7. First of all, it's my favorite thing about it. And unlike some of the pricey ones that come in a glass jar that you're like afraid to take anywhere near your bathroom because you're going to like shatter and cut yourself, it's in this nice plastic tub and it doesn't separate. So like the oils and the sugar stay mixed up like a smoothie almost, like a Jamba Juice of scrubs, but thicker. So you could get a nice big scoop and you get it all at once. And it's not like sharp and granular. It's really soft and spready. So this is the new scent that I don't think is out yet. This is Moroccan Rose.
Can I have a sniff?
Yes. Oh my God. It's delightful. And it's pink. But the popular one that I also like that you get at Ulta is Coconut Lime. But like, I just want to like stick my little paw in there.
Oh my God.
Isn't it delightful?
Oh my God. It's airy too. It's not.
Yeah. Like, it's like a whipped scrub almost.
No, so I mean the scent too. It's like a rose, but it's not
all their
like,
scents are really, you know, really good.
It's light and refreshing.
Loaded with shea butter. And then like, I feel like at the end of the winter when you're like a scaly lizard and you're just like, oh, I have to come out into the real world. Like you just take a big scoop of this and like I use it with my gloves, my little like exfoliating gloves. And then you just like are
you exfoliate
with the gloves and you put this.
Yeah, like I want to feel
careful.
Oh, but it's so good and itchy in the hot water.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's like a dermatologist's nightmare, but whatever. It's sugar, though, not salt. So it dissolves really evenly. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make your tub slippery. I'm just all about it. And also, $7? Like, come on.
That's really good. My favorite thing about that is the plastic tub. I don't understand what these brands are thinking with the glass everywhere in the tub.
Danger. Danger.
Danger. Danger.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.